Hello and welcome back to Mayor Risk Podcasts. My name is Areski Daoud, and in this fourth and final installment on election previews, Alessandro Bruno and I look at the promising but also troubled southern African country of Mozambique with its upcoming presidential poll.
Can you talk about optimism in Mozambique? You know, Mozambique is the your typical story of a half full, half empty glass. You can go both ways, right? I mean, clearly, you know, let me step back a little bit historically. I mean, recent history. There were elections, I think, in 2015, if I recall, that were, the government has always been under the control of this, single party called Frelimo. And the Frelimo are revolutionaries. They were,
yes.
Left-wing folks who were supported by, I suppose, Cuba and Russia and perhaps Angola, etc. Yeah, definitely left-wing guys. So they've been in power. They have been, as is the case in most, if not all, African countries, there's a resistance against it. It's an organization called RENAMO. And
yes.
RENAMO has been, if my history serves me right, it was the creation of by nearby Rhodesia, when Rhodesia was a
colony.
Yes, absolutely.
Rhodesia now
it was
Zimbabwe.
An apartheid type of country.
Yes.
And so it was basically the counter the revolution in Mozambique. RENAMO was created. Now, Frelimo doesn't want to share power, but they've been forced recently because RENAMO has been using essentially guerrilla violence to impose its positions. And there's been a series of talks over the past couple of years, which culminated to a peace talk recently, or peace agreement, whereby, quote-unquote democracy will be restored, you name it, the typical stuff. So that's the good thing.
And I think everyone expects Frelimo to continue.
Yes, absolutely.
So 96% chance. So at least we have some kind of continuity. And also Mozambique is not a very big country. And Mozambique has something that the, Nigeria has it. But Mozambique has a lot of it for a nice small population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's natural gas.
Yes.
And economic growth has been annually for the past few years at 7%. That is a Chinese level growth rates. And in fact, the Chinese have built a very important infrastructure now. They completed a bridge that connects Mozambique to South Africa. So, this region, Southeast Africa in particular, I forgot the name of the organization under which they operate, but is one of the most stable and fastest growing economic areas in the whole of the African continent.
Yes, so, and that's the glass is half full, right? Eventually,
yes.
You're right. I mean, there's a lot of positive factors. Small population, small population, and I think you pointed to the fact that the Rovuma Basin, which is in the north of the coast of the province of Cabo Delgado, has seen an enormous amount of activity. As global companies are looking to extract natural gas in what may be one of Africa's biggest site reserves, if you will, so that's the positive side, but there is a lot of negative. I mean, you can start with the internal politics, which began or at least which starts with corruption. Corruption meant that in 2015 or even 14, actually, before the elections, there was a process of whereby the Mozambican government contracted billions of dollars of loan. $2 billion of it was never reported to the IMF, and ever since the discovery of the hidden debt, Mozambique has been essentially blockaded by its partners. Nobody wants to do business with them. So whatever the half full glass has been, you know, the water has been sort of emptied by the fact that its economic growth has deteriorated to half of what you mentioned, the 7% dropped by less than three, because no one wants to do business until Mozambique comes clean with what happened to the $2 billion that probably disappeared. As you know, a former finance minister is wanted by the U.S. By the U.S. Justice Department. He is in South Africa, and I think he went through a hearing in Johannesburg, a court hearing on his extradition to the U.S. Three senior executives of, a Swiss bank, who I will not name, are under arrest for playing a role in this debt scandal. The IMF has been telling all along for the past year or so Mozambique that it will have nothing to do with it until there's clarity. Now, there is almost certainty that several people within the current government are implicated in this scandal. And that, what happens now? Do they come forward? Do the authorities talk about it? I know that the U.S. Court order or the court papers show indictment of Mozambican officials, but it's not naming any names, which means obviously there's probably some level of panic in the Mozambican government. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, Alessandro, which is an enormous problem, probably even bigger, because you could make peace with Renamo. You give Renamo all the sorts of incentives, including democracy, etc. That's fine. International investors like that. You come clean. You send a bunch of your or bureaucrats to prison on the debt scandal. Great. The international community loves that. But what happens when you have an emerging terrorism in the area where gas exploration is going to take place? And that's exactly what's happening in the northeast. I'm sorry, in the north of the country.
Oh, yes. We've had the new Shabab.
Yes, they call them a Shabab, but they really have nothing to do with Somali's Shabab. These are, you know, I mean, whoever you read or you listen, some analysts would say they are local kids who basically have no job prospects. Misery is eating them alive, and basically they're rebellion. On the other hand, if you are, you know, miserable and having bad time, why would you go from village to village and slaughter people? There's a much bigger, sinister agenda in what's happening in northern Mozambique. And, you know, many of the people that were arrested are coming from Tanzania, from other places where things are happening. And it could be a regionalization of the jihad, perhaps. I don't really know. But again, Mozambique is not necessarily a place prone to jihad. Exactly what's happening, we'll probably talk off record later on. But, it's interesting how this is happening. Now, incidents are happening on a weekly basis. By incidents, I mean attack on remote villages. In the scale of global terrorism, these are, you know, small intensity attacks. Nevertheless, they end up with people dead, and that's not good, and villages destroyed. So there's a great deal of efforts to destabilize the region, a region where there's a lot of oil and gas activity, ironically. And, you know, there's speculation that, some of the sponsors of these attacks might be people who want the region to be destabilized so that they can come in and fix the problem. I don't know. That sounds a little far-fetched, but it's possible. I mean, nobody seems to officially know who these guys are. Ironically, you know, the Mozambican courts have 200 to 300 people trial, and they still can't officially make any pronouncements except that they're Muslims, and off we go. That's the easy answer. So, you know, the elections where we're headed to you know, similar elections that we saw recently, local elections, where the vast majority of the success will go to the ruling Frelimo party, and then some seats will go or have gone to a couple of opposition parties. I think ultimately Frelimo will continue to rule. The question is, what happens to the insurgency? Is a billion-dollar question. What happens to the economy is easier, you know, a response than the terrorism part. But clearly, you know, Mozambique is an interesting place to watch.
Yes, Mozambique, one of the hopeful countries coming out of a very long civil war. It was one of the most popular, I remember, in the news in the 90s, in the 80s, 70s even, because that's one of the longest civil wars in Africa, was set to become one of the tigers of the region. And then, of course, whenever there's one resource at play, you always have these problems.
Yes,
and natural gas. As North Africa shows, these resources are both a blessing and some very often a curse.
Yeah, most of the time a curse, really, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, but because what is very interesting in Tunisia, we've talked about the problems that Tunisia has, but Tunisia also has one of the most educated populations in the whole North Africa, most secular. It has laws comparable to those of France in many ways. And it's ironic that it should be the one to face such difficult challenges when it has a lot of what the UN looks for in praising development.
Yes, and you know, to me, what really is interesting is quite often the world is out of line with what's happening in most of these emerging markets in terms of these powerful groups and elites unable to articulate what the problem is. I mean, they have these conferences, like currently what in Davos, and they just can't articulate why there are so many problems in those in this part of the world, and they cannot figure out a compromise or at least a consensus among these powerful players on how to deal and how to stabilize a region. And you know what? I'll go for the sake of profitability. Fine, profit. You know, I'm okay with the idea of companies making big revenues and profits, etc. But I think there's got to be a sense of urgency that what we see happening across Africa, the Middle East, in particular, these two parts of the world, eventually some parts of Latin America, could be fixed without having to go further into deeper violence and more deaths. Unfortunately, I don't think we're there.
Yes, and I mean, usually revolutions don't work. Revolutions produce more revolutions, and we've seen in Russia in 1917 to 18, we had one revolution and then a civil war that left 5 million dead. So in revolution in Iran was started by left-wing forces, ended up being hijacked by the Islamists, although they managed to produce a stable government, ironically. And that is one of the fascinating things about what the stabilizing efforts that the U.S. is leading against it. But that's another topic.
Well, Alessandro, it was a pleasure talking, my friend. Thank you that, you know, it's an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow.
And we have solved the problems of many African countries.